I spoke to my brother-in-law yesterday. He told me the most amazing story, and he checked if it's true. And I must share this with you because it's from a reliable source now. He found out that it was Dayan Weiss. Minchas Yitzchok. We know him in England as Dayan Weiss. One of the greatest halachic authorities after the war, together with Moshe Feinstein. Dayan Weiss, for his last years, he was in Manchester, but eventually he moved. He was the Rav of Yerushalayim, of the Eid HaCharedis in Yerushalayim, and he was the Rav of Rosh, Rav and Av Bezin of Yerushalayim, Yerak Kodesh. Dayan Weiss, Bitzchok Yaakov Weiss, he had one child, Berish Weiss, in Manchester, who's one of the very big bal stocker. And this is the only son that Dayan Weiss has, Berish Weiss, and he's got himself many children. He grants a very large mishpocha. All Talmidei Chachamim, there's a few Rosh HaKol, Rabbonim, all the Weisses, there's a chosh mishpocha. So apparently, Dayan Weiss was married before the war. He went out on a shidduch. He was a bocha, and when he was about to get engaged, he was a good bocha, a special bocha. He was about to go out with a girl, and you know, in the Chassidish circles, when you only meet the girl once, and that's, you know, when the shidduch is about to, when not much choice really at that point, you know. And so that was the case with Dayan Weiss as well. And so he, what's that?
The biggest Tommy Tunes, right?
This shidduch was suggested, and he met her, and when the mother of the Kala, they came from different villages in Romania, very far away. When the mother of Dayan Weiss, Dayan Weiss, the mother of the Chosn, saw the girl, she said, actually, no, maybe not. There was no photographs in those days, not much option of, actually, and there was some mum, I don't know exactly what was wrong with, but something about her looks, which was very, he said, my bocha is such an, it doesn't have to, she preferred rather not. And then when she wanted to call off the shidduch again, this was before engagement and before marriage and before, she said, no, better not. And, but then this bocha, the chosn, he said, no, we can't embarrass the girl like this, can't embarrass her. It's almost not right. And he insisted on actually getting engaged. And he said, it's not fair to the girl to run off at that point. And he insisted, and the mother said, no, you can't. Yeah. But he insisted, he got engaged to her, and he got married. And they had one child. She was killed during the war. And Dayan Weiss made it to the war, and after he married a second time round. He never had any children from the second wife. And even when he was later, she was ill nebuch, and she died. She was nifter as well. And he married a third time round. And from the third marriage, she also didn't have any children. Dayan Weiss said, apparently, and again, I heard this from. So I heard it from my brother-in-law, heard it from the grandson of Dayan Weiss. He said, Dayan Weiss said in his later years, he said that he's sure that Al Pidei Chatavei, he said that he couldn't have any children. But the only reason why he was zoichet to have children is he has got absolutely no doubt, because he didn't want to embarrass that girl. He said he shouldn't have been zoichet to have children. He could really, naturally shouldn't have any children, but he decided to convert, and he said he was very happily married. And more than that, he said that he knew he was, because he never intended to, he would rather not to, he insisted on not hurting her feelings, and insisted on not, on being mevata. He said, in the course of that, he was able to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I thought it's a mighty mess. It's quite a powerful story, I think. Yeah. So, okay. Simon Shin Mem Hey, Seif Dalet, Chorim Shebeksole Rishus Yochid, who are going to be defining a little bit more about Rishus Yochid before we proceed with Rishus Rabim. So, Chorim Shebeksole Rishus Yochid literally means Chorim, holds. Shebeksole Rishus Yochid, which are in the walls of Rishus Yochid. Sheklap Rishus Yochid, which is internally, inside Rishus Yochid. Hem Rishus Yochid, Rishus Yochid. So imagine if you've got a wall out of the three or four walls that we have of a private domain. In an actual hole, it's got a hole. The wall has got a hole. A small hole. Can you put something in that hole? Is that part of Rishus Yochid or not? So you're within the Rishus Yochid. You're within the private domain, and there's a hole. But it's a protrusion, kind of. Can you put something in there, or is that considered part of Rishus Rabbim? Because it's not literally, it's not physically within the Rishus Yochid. It's in the wall of the Rishus Yochid, but it's not within the Rishus Yochid. So the halacha is, choyrim, the holes of the walls of Rishus Yochid, is considered Rishus Yochid. What happens if it's a hole, an external hole, that if you're walking on the street, you have a protrusion, a hole in the wall, so it's again a hole in the wall of Rishus Yochid, but this one is external. So if you klape chutz ve'enum oivrim klape pnim nidum lefi govan ve'rochbon k'mosh espasim and see if you'd give. That will be discussed in the later. See if you'd give. It may be different because if you have got a hole in the wall, so it depends if the hole is internal or external. If it's internal, itself is Rishus Yochid. If the hole is external, then it may not be judged according to Rishus Yochid. Has Rishus Yochid, that will be discussed according to its size. That will be discussed at a later point. Seif hey. The air of Rishus Yochid, Rishus Yochid, is Rishus Yochid, until sky. That's very important. When you've got a roof of a building, so within the building, obviously, Rishus Yochid. What about the roof? The roof. Uncovered, without ceiling, roof. Is that Rishus Yochid or not? Can you carry on the roof?
On top of the roof?
Yes. On top of the roof. Can you carry there, yes or no? It's not surrounded by walls. So the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, yes, it is considered Rishus Yochid. The Rishus Yochid goes up, if we can imagine this is a building, and this is the top, this is the internal, the four walls of the building, and these are the this is the inside of the building. So the halacha is that avir, since the walls over here, they are physically only up to here, up to this point. But in reality, the halacha is that they keep on going up. So whilst they physically do not exist, but halachically they reach all the way till Shemaim. They reach till Shemaim. So these walls, they don't physically exist, but halachically the walls exist. Therefore, this area over here, the top of the ceiling. If you're on the roof, what that means really is you're surrounded by four mechitzas, it's just they are not visible, but there are four mechitzas around you. Because all the four walls, the mechitzas continue ad l'shamayim. Therefore, that goes all the way up, all the way up. Therefore, if you carry from here to here, that's all permitted. Yeah.
If you've got a flat roof, doesn't it? So you have to put walls anyway.
Because of maka, that's right. But even if there wouldn't be, you're right. You must put maka.
But if it's a pitched roof,
the halacha will be identical. That the halacha will be the same because you've got four walls and they keep on going up. The fact that it's a bit, there's a slight, that it's pitched and it's slanted, that won't disturb it. The walls will continue up and the entire roof area, even if it's slanted, is considered Rishus Yochid. Now, this is very important because that means that what about a car? What about the top of a car? We mentioned yesterday if you find something in your pocket, what are you going to do with it? So imagine somebody carried out, he had a tissue in his pocket. And he walked out of the house and without having stopped at all, he now notices that he has something in his pocket. So what should he do with it? So now if there's no more kumptua available and he's unable to go back to the shtochid where he came from, that's ideal. If you can go back to the house, that's ideal. But if you cannot, you may place it on all the rishus yochid. And it could be, one could, perhaps, if it's easy to, it could be that if you can put it on the Rishus Yochid of a car, the car is Rishus Yochid as well. The car is Rishus Yochid. So, chances are, I'm not saying that in full confidence because there is, depends at times, but if you could put it on top of the car, that might be at times a good option. But no, I'm not saying that because normally when you stop, you've actually done Hanoch and Rishus Rabbim, and it's not great. But if you don't stop, to put something on top of a car might be, if there is proper mechitzas, which at times there is, then it would be considered placing something on Rishus Yochid. Okay, we move on. Because Rishus Yochid is the Adler Rukia that keeps on going up. Hafilu kli, Shulchan Aruch Seivav, even a kli, going teva, imigdal, or kaveres, even a kli, going teva, a box, or imigdal, also a kind of box. A kaver is a beehive. Him yeshlan rabear bo al aboyev. There's four tefachim in each direction, and that's the area, the space of four tefachim al four tefachim. Gvoya asorin, it's 10 tefachim high. Havrish shiochet is considered rishus yochet. So anything which is 4 on 4 and 10 tefachim high is considered a rishus yochet, a public, a private domain. This is now the end of the definition of a private domain. If we move on now and we define a public domain. What is a rishus harabim? So rishus harabim. Ezer rishus harabim. What is rishus harabim? Rechovos, streets, shvokim, and marketplaces. Harechovim tezayin am, which are 16 amos wide. Ve'eno mekoyrim, and they're not covered. Ve'eno im choyma, and there is no wall. You mustn't have walls. Ve'afil yesh leim choyma, even if there is a wall, im em mefuloshim mesha alasha, if it is straight, it's got a straight, it's a straight passage from gate to gate. Vendal tzoysav neulas belailo, and these gates are not closed by night. Havarish shesrabim is considered shesrabim. We will leave out the next opinion for next page for now. We'll discuss that tomorrow, Yetzah Hashem. But for now, this opinion of Shulchan Aruch tells us, what is rishus harabim? Public domain is defined by a street which is 16 amos wide. So what about A41? Is it public domain or not? Yeah, about A1? Yeah? Broadfields, Edgerbury, not 16 amos? Yeah, you don't think 16 amos?
16, how many feet, is that?
8 meters.
How much, sorry?
8 meters.
You don't think you've got 8 meters? Front of the house, yes, you can call, you can include the curb as well. No. You may, because it doesn't say anywhere that it needs to be only by cars. It's certainly people. Yes, so the private. Yes. Yeah, I think I also think that you're going to have every normal residential street is considered, I think, normally you'll have 16 amas, and it's going to be considered according to this opinion. Haboisai, what about a private toll road? Private toll road. Which one is private toll road? I got this ticket the other day.
The
M6. M6, yeah.
It's a private road.
It's a private road. Private road. I don't know which to me belongs, but it's private. The
M6. All yeah. Roads are owned by the government. Is there a difference between the M6 that's a private road where you have to pay extra?
So I'm asking, does it make a difference?
Not really.
Yeah? Okay, so the answer is absolutely correct. It does not make a difference. The fact that M6 is privately owned, it doesn't make a difference. That's not the point of Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is that it is mosor l'rabim, it is given to the public to use. And even if you have to pay towards it, and monetary way, it belongs to a single person. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. It is a public road.
But sometimes you have what they call a private road, which is non-adoptable, and it's owned by, could be any individual or a company.
Yeah, it will make a difference. Road, if it's 16 amos,
only certain people are allowed to use it.
If there is 16 amos, it's going to
be 16 amos, but only, yeah. It's not in English terms, it's not an English word.
Yeah, it could. I hear that, but nevertheless, just because it doesn't make a difference. Although some people may not access it, or even many people may not be able to access it freely. Nevertheless, it is considered a road which is it is a rishus harabim.
A bridle way.
I don't know what that is.
You've got one up the road here, it's just like especially for horses, and it's like if you've got
it doesn't matter because you could have a rishus harabim. If it's 16 amos, it will be a rishus harabim. If it's not 16 amos, it's not.
It's not a road for cars.
It doesn't make a difference. You can have a rishus harabim. In fact, until 70 years ago. Yeah? So, now, mefuloshim, if you look at the picture in the bottom left, you will see that mefuloshim, that literally mefulosh means that it is straight across. That it is, mefulosh means that it goes across. There is a great discussion amongst the poskim as to whether it needs to be mefulosh. So the Shulchan Aruch says mefulosh mishalasha, because remember that in the times of the Mishnayos, in times of the Gemara, and even there was a gate, the way any normal village was built, you had a gate on two sides of the village, And there was a wall around the village, and again there was two gates on the opposing sides. It was the marketplace, which was the main area of the city in the middle. And then it was, the streets would go normally across from one gate to the other. That's considered mefulash. Mefulash means that it is straight across, meshah leshah, from gate to gate. Now, as to whether it means that mefulash, as to whether it means, so Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here, that im hei mefulashim meshah leshah, that even if you could have really an area which is surrounded by a wall, it could still be Rishus Rabbim if it's mefulash leshah leshah. Now, as to whether this means that if it's a bit curvy, it's not Rishus Rabbim, it probably doesn't mean that, right? Even the M1 is going to be a little bit, it's not straight in terms of, if you look at the map, from bird's view, you'll see it's not absolutely straight. It doesn't matter, it's still considered a Rishus Rabbim. It just means that if it's completely like an L or something like that, if it's like very, very extremely, or like a U or something like that, if the shape is very extraordinary, not straight, then perhaps it will disturb the flow of the street and it will lose its name of Rishus Rabbim. But that's on the very extreme circumstances. Okay, we leave this for now and we go to Siman Shin Lamed Vav Siv Gimel. Yes. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have to keep our minds fresh. Siv Gimel. Mutalelech al gabay asovim. Is it permitted to go on grass? Is it permitted to go on grass? Is it permitted to go on grass? Is there any problem to walk on grass? No. Mutalelech al gabay asovim. You're allowed to walk on grass. Bein lachim bein yeveshim, whether they are dry, or whether they are moist. Kevin she'enu mischaven litloish. Although you may be tearing off some of the grass by walking over it, you are still not doing an issa. It's not a psikesha. Havala oichlim be ginois, but somebody who eats in the fields, in the gardens, that's a problem. You're allowed to walk, even though you may be tearing off some of it. You may walk on grass, but that's only in terms of walking. In terms of eating over grass, havala oichlim be ginois, hasurim litol idem al asom. But if you're eating, you may be doing an issa, because havala oichlim be Ganois, but if you are eating on the fields, in the gardens, asurim litoledem, you may not wash your hands, alo asovim on the grass. Why not? That's right. Shemashkim oisom, because you're watering the grass. Aval pish enu michavnim, although it's not your intention, you couldn't care less as to whether the grass is growing or not, it's not yours, you couldn't care less. Nevertheless, it's a psikesh, it's inevitable that you are actually watering, and therefore it's also. Avolmutel atel by mere glein, but urinate on grass is permitted. Hoshamashkim, shenem atzmichim, or any other liquid that you may be pouring over the grass is mutel if it is very strong and acidy, that it will not help the grass to grow. That is permitted because you're not helping it to grow. Very good. So that the person can speak about that, and it's not actually killing it. You're just delaying its growing. You're not going to kill it, but it's just going to, and that's not a problem, therefore. It is therefore, says the Ramo, it is proper to be stringent not to eat in the field. If you're going to use any water there, because the Bekoshi, because you're likely to pour a bit of water, a bit of drink, something may spill a bit, you may pour by mistake a bit of your water, a bit of your apple juice, a bit of something, and then you're probably going to be watering and therefore committing an issa of zereah on Shabbos. The Mishnebu sends of cotton chavav shemashkinoy some hamashkes azoim, somebody who is mashke, somebody who pours liquid over the on the field on the seed, chayim shum zereah, is doing zereah. Planting the moyle atzmich, because that helps the growing. Vegam shum choyresh, also choyresh, shemapi akaka lidea lichluch, because you're making through the wood, you're actually plowing to some extent, because you're enabling the moisture is enabling the growth to progress quicker. So if you're doing zeriah, as choyresh as well. Rabbi said, what happens if it's in the winter, and everything is sopping wet anyway? Is there a problem as well? We're learning now. You're not allowed to pour liquid. You're not allowed to eat in the, wash your hands in the fields because you're going to be doing Zoreya. And my question is, what happens if it's wet anyway? If it's in the winter, everything is sopping wet anyway. Does that make a difference or not? Are you allowed to eat in a field or to drink in a field in the winter when it's after the rain? Loy plug. Loy plug. Classic example. Lamai says, interesting. I would have probably guessed the same as you. Chemnitz and Karelitz is being quoted in saying that it's mutter. Because Lamai says, you're not doing anything to the ground. You're not helping it. It's wet anyway. It's moist. It's wet. So you're not doing anything, but therefore it's mutter. Rabbi Yisrael, this Karelitz is mutter to pour water, at least not intentionally. If the intention is not to do zera, if it's just somebody else's field in a garden, in a park, and you're pouring water for your own hands, for your washing hands, or for you're pouring a drink and something spilling, that is mutter in the winter if it is completely, if the fields are wet anyway. You're not doing any isra. It may be a psikration, but it's psikration on nichale. It's that you do not.
Does the psikration apply to an outright derisive like that?
Yeah, so in this particular case, he says, yes, it's a substance of psikration on nichale that you have no gain whatsoever. Yes, sukkah roof would be a good example. It's very good. Yeah, the sukkah roof is a classic example too. So what's the halacha of a sukkah roof? When you know that after it's rained, that. Yes, so Lemaisa, many poskim say that the best way is that if you're right. If it's just a once off rain, then you've got a problem. You may not pour directly onto the grass because you're doing zera. However, 2 points. If it is taka wet still from the rain and it's been raining the whole week and it's got one of those, one of those chalamoids that you just it's been rain and you just add a bit of, then it's that mama she would be muta, it would taka be muta, then it's a psikeshlo nichale. However, if and another point as well, if it's not going directly on the grass, but if there's a stone area around it, it's paved around it a little bit and it's a goma, it goes onto the stone and from there it goes onto the grass, then it's muta as well because it's indirect. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Cotton, Seif Cotton Choftes, he says something interesting about wine. Do you think that wine, what about wine on grass? What do you think? Is that something which is motor? It's what it's? It won't, that's right, I didn't know that. Mishnah Berurah Taka says, as you're saying, Hosham mashkim she'enu matzmichim, something which will not enable it to grow, on the contrary, it will hinder its growth. Hanu kagoin liyain, such as wine. Lefishu az v'chozok, it is strong, it is acidy v'soyref, gam kein azoyim, and it will also kill the seeds. Perhaps. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Ah, no, I was wondering, Takif, out because it's not so strong. I hear. Maybe. Where do you see that? Yain Chai? The Yain Shu Chosak Eli Zoe Kla'a. Yeah, perhaps. So perhaps it depends how strong the wine is. If it's a very strong wine, it's going to be mutter. If it's very diluted, then perhaps there's a room to one should perhaps be machmir. Yeah. Okay. And then the interesting shaila, which is interesting. I saw the post came discuss. Here we're learning that to be zera is also and to erase even by pouring water over the siona, pouring water over the grass is also a problem as well. By the way, what happens if you want to eat something in the summer? It's very nice. It's very nice. You want to have a drink in your garden, your back garden. You have to be particularly careful about this. In your own back garden, does it make a difference?
No.
Why?
Because it's still washed in the grass.
So therefore?
You're not allowed.
You're not allowed, yeah. So if we're saying ever that it is, the point that I would like to point out is that in our own garden, you have to be even more stringent. Because generally, when we talk about somebody else's field, then the point is we do not care. It's like, you don't care as to whether in that garden, that field, it grows or not. However, in your own garden, you have a bit of an interest that the grass grows nicely. It may be a limited interest, but it's certainly something which is a positive as opposed to a negative aspect. And therefore, we're going to say that if it's a psikesh, it's considered psikesh de nichale as a psikesh lo nichale. And therefore, if you're sure that it's going to spill, you're sure that it's going to pour over, then it's also, it's a psikesh, if it's a psikesh, it will be also minatoria, yeah. Yeah, then it's there. Yeah, I suppose it's, yeah, that was below Nichele, I suppose. Unless he really loves your garden, he really wants to really enable. But normally it would be considered if it's not yours, a psikesh lo nichele. I'm a chalik between yours and somebody else's. A shana that Nissen Karelit discusses, I think that's an interesting one. You've got what are they called? The spritzers? That spritz?
Spring,
yeah, okay. And you forgot to switch it off before Shabbos? It's more accurate. It's much more accurate as well. It's much more accurate. Yeah, and you forgot to switch it off, and your flowers are drowning from the huge amount of water that is there. It's too much, and they're gonna drown. You're gonna damage all the flowers from this overflow of water. Is it mutter to push it into a different direction in a way that it's not going to go onto the water anymore? It's not going to go onto the flowers anymore.
Yeah. It was on a timer from before.
And let's say you forgot to switch off. It's not on a timer. It's a constant. And you know that if you keep it like this all Shabbos, it's going to get.
You can't switch
it up. Oh, can you turn off? Can you turn it off altogether?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what would you say? Would you switch it off?
Move it.
But are you not saying that you're helping the growth of the flowers? You're helping the growth of flowers. Why is it not Zoriya? Chayrish.
By turning it off, it's improving the growth of flowers.
You're improving it.
If you don't turn it off, it sinks them.
So therefore, but are you not saying that this is an element of Zoriya there, or Chayrish? You're helping the growth. The definition of Zoriya is helping it grow. Now you're helping it grow. Very good. So, maybe it's not a chiddush, that since you're not doing anything positive, you're just stopping something from. So, that's considered something. It's mutter. He's mutter. He's mutter. What's that? No. You're right. It could be, but sometimes we see, but maybe he's not. He doesn't say that. I hear. Why is not Baltashkiz on the. I hear. You don't have to say the in terms of Zeriah. So it's not Zeriah because you're not positively doing something. You're just stopping it to get ruined, and therefore it's mutter. Habayi Sarah, the halacha we covered this evening is that a person is allowed to walk on grass. Makes no difference as whether the grass is dry or moist, as long as your intention is not to tear it off. With regards to eating, you have to be careful that you don't pour water over the grass. Because you're mashke, and although it's in a mischavim, but it's a ma'aseh psikreishen, it's therefore also. We learned that any acid liquid is mutter to pour there. We also learned that if it's your own garden, you have to be careful, and one should be machmir that. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael, and good chodesh.